Hello, and welcome to Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast, The Gun Rack. Hello indeed, everyone, and welcome to Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast, just like it says in the theme, The Gun Rack. I'm Josiah Upper. Folks call me Joey, and today we're going to be going through part of this interview series that I didn't really expect to be a series, but it's turned out quite well so far. Today we're going to be airing an interview I did with Mark Lynn, who is an instructor here at Sonoran Desert Institute. Mark Lynn is, first of all, he's a heck of a guy. He's a great friend here of mine and of the podcast and of the school, but he is more than that. He is an instructor that has a very experienced background in machining. Mark Lynn is a machinist and has been working in and around machines since he was like 16 years old, as it will reveal in the interview. I don't want to hype things up too much, but I had a great time with him. I hope you enjoy it too. So, without any further ado, here's Mark Lynn on the basics of machining. Okay, everyone, I am here today with Mark Lynn, who is one of the instructors here at Sonoran Desert Institute. Mark Lynn is a specialist in machining. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing excellent, Joey. How about yourself?
I am doing very well, excuse me. And today we're going to be looking at kind of a bird's eye view of what machining is and how it applies to gunsmithing. Of course, machining is a huge, huge topic with a lot of varied applications. So
absolutely, it's an exciting world, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so can you tell us a little bit about just the basics of what, like, if you say you work in machining, what are you communicating? Like, does that say you work with something specifically, or is it a much broader field we're talking about?
You know, it's broad. It's just a broad term, Joey. Working in machining is in my opinion, my definition, is any time that you're making anything in metal. Now, you could say, well, that could be true for fabrication and welding and so on and so forth. But
sure,
you know, we could drill down even just a little bit further. And you know, anytime you're machining, you know, threads or removing material ID or OD, cutting grooves, cutting a profile, you know, anything, drilling bolt hole circles, that kind of thing. So it's a broad term.
Okay.
But I like to look at it as, hey, anytime we manufacture something, chip removal in material.
Okay. When you got started in machining, has it always been within kind of the sphere of the gunsmithing world, or is machining, like various areas of it, been kind of where you come from background wise?
Believe it or not, my background, when I started in machining, I started cleaning at 15 years old, an automotive machine shop. And how I got into it was a friend. I was a paper boy. Back when we had newspapers, we delivered newspapers. Man, does that make me feel old.
Awesome.
Yes. Now all of our news is disseminated on, it seems like, electronic device. So, but yeah, believe it or not, we used to have newspapers that we would deliver. And in my neighborhood, I had a good customer, long-standing customer and a friend of mine. And he says, you know what? He says, when you get ready to look for that real job, hence, you know, kind of that transition from 15 to 16.
Sure.
He says, let me know. And so I was just nearing that 16th birthday, about 2 months out. And I said, hey, Roy, I said, you know what, let's talk. So him and I went and introduced me to the shop owner. And shop owner said, hey, I got a tough, hot, nasty job. It's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be cleaning machines and dusting and greasy work and some repainting of machines and touch up and that kind of thing. And, you know, in this kind of in a natural progression, long story short was, you know, you're cleaning these machines and going, wow, what does this machine do? Well, you start asking questions, and then next thing you know, you're cleaning it, and let's say you're milling a set of heads.
Yeah.
They're teaching you how this all works, how to set things up, speeds, cutter configurations, that kind of thing. So that's kind of how I got into it. I never had a set path that said, hey, I'm going to learn to be a machinist from the time I was a kid, you know, that kind of thing, but just kind of happened. And I've, been through schooling and training for machining. I've been through college as a business major. Also aviation management was the actual course of study. Became a pilot, believe it or not, but I've always been in and around machining. So that's kind of how I got into it.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been around for a long, long time.
20, you know, I'm 40, so I've been around it for, 22, 23 years probably.
Were there any breaks in machining over the course of that?
Yeah, I probably didn't, when I say breaks, meaning I didn't have my hands on the machines for probably a couple of years. Yeah, probably two to three years.
Okay. So what led you to get more into the gunsmithing side of machining?
Always had an interest in firearms, and always had that, that desire to learn more. And let's face it, in gunsmithing, there's always threading, there's always turning, there's always something to be milling, there's always something to be done that needed to be done. And what's the old saying? Necessity is the mother of all inventions, The necessity is the mother of all need. So it kind of progressed into that.
Yeah, very nice. When did you kind of end up in this part of the world?
Oh, doing machining and, for gunsmith work and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's probably been 11 years or so.
Oh, wow, great. And so when we're talking machining for firearms, can you tell us a little bit about some of the, a lot of the things that you do? It would be great to kind of get a big picture thing, but some of the bigger things that you end up doing on a more regular basis, like some of your common things to do on the docket for machining?
Typically a lot of threading, a lot of making various parts, fixing, believe it or not, fixing parts if you have to weld or
I do believe
you
that.
Know, yep. Reattach. And as you do that, fixing, and then, obviously you're turning it or milling it into proper size and shape and that kind of thing. So just depends various, milling, anything from milling down, if you're turning in, like a shotgun, you want to say maybe take a traditional shotgun and maybe put, scope mounts on it, turn it maybe into more of a tactical shotgun.
Sure. Yeah.
There's things there. So, just various, a whole host of different things that we've done over the years.
Okay. And do you have a cut, like just kind of looking over, I'd imagine you've worked on, I'm not even going to guess the amount of digits, somewhere between hundreds and tens of thousands of firearms. Are there a couple of projects that stick out to you as particularly memorable? Either for good or bad reasons, like something that was particularly difficult or a project that ended that you were really proud of, anything like that?
I kind of view it maybe a little bit different than others, but, kind of nothing monumental. I mean, because I look at each project, as it gets completed, that's my work. So as a craftsman, you look at it and so I don't really have any monumental, things or that stick out, because each, each thing poses different issues and different problems, and really machining is just a series of problem solving. How am I going to get to this from what I've got here? Or perhaps I miscalculated, you know, and now what do I got to do? Do I have to perhaps build that up with a little bit of weld? You know, I cut it a little bit too short. Do I have to build it up a little weld and remachine it down? Did I totally screw something up? So now do I have to go back over to the plate and lay everything back out and go, cut, grind and get, to a finished part. So to answer the direct question of, is there anything monumental that stands out? No, because I think everything that, at least my perspective, everything that I work on, is personal to me. And, I treat it as such. So.
Okay. I can understand that as a creative person. I'm like, nothing stands out, but it does. Like the way you explain it does make sense. I do understand.
I mean, I've done tactical builds for folks from old, stock.
Yeah.
Remington, shot. I mean, I don't try to get, I don't have anything too. Like you said, monumental.
Yeah. So when you're getting started in machining, obviously there's a pretty decent equipment set that you're going to need to get started. What do people normally employ to get themselves started when they're working within gunsmithing and machining?
Generally, depending on where, a whole host and of things, but generally due to the cost, lot of folks will start with a good quality drill press.
Okay. And,
you got to remember my personal shop, Joey, is there's nothing newer. Okay. Than 1968. In terms of my equipment. So I really hunt down, X or old industrial surplus machines.
Wow. That's gotta be fun. Names
that, it is. And each of these machines has a soul to it,
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like my Bridgeport's a 1968. I mean, can you find them newer? Absolutely. There's some things that I look for. Mine's a horse and a half, variable speed. There's some different things you look at. But, I'm in and around the industry so much that I find various buys, good buys and things on machines. But then I go through and I restore them. And that means I take them all apart. So what are some things that people can start with? I mean, that's where I go. Not everybody has that skill set. So, obviously a drill press would be a good place to start. If you can afford a smithy machine, which incorporates both a lathe and a mill kind of in one machine. It really just kind of depends on where the budget's at. But if you're fairly hands-on, fairly mechanical, which I hope most folks are that are into gunsmithing trade.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not out of reach for somebody to say, hey, let's pick up a mill such as a Bridgeport or a Clausing or a Wells Index or what, you fill in the blank for the brand. Let's pick one up if you can find one in really rough shape for $800 to $1,000 and let's take it apart, clean everything up, go through everything, new bearings, new bushings, just clean it up, paint it up, and then put it back into service. So that's a good way to do. Now, the other challenge to that too is, what comes to three-phase power. So what I have is I have what we call a rotary phase converter. So my entire personal shop takes single-phase power, which is normally like your dryer, 220 volts, your dryer would work on or would run on.
Sure.
And I run it through what we call a rotary phase converter, which is really a series of capacitors that run a three phase generator. And this is kind of getting deep, I understand.
No, that's all right.
That's a big mysterious thing with people is you know, we can buy the industrial surplus machines, but how do I run it? I mean, depending on the size, I mean, a horse and a half, you can run a, you know, a variable frequency drive, but I run, you know, a vertical bandsaw. I run a 1560 engine lathe, which is 15 inch swing, 60 inches long. And then I run a Bridgeport mill. So I have a 25 horsepower rotary phase converter,
wow,
which then is generating three phase power for my shop. And then I have a direct electrical tap and a disconnect for each one of my machines to that. So that becomes kind of a mysterious thing for folks. And they go, okay, well, how do I convert, you know, a Bridgeport from the three phase into single phase? A long story short is you have two options, really. If I was going to run just a single machine in a garage, would be a frequency drive, variable frequency drive. If you're going to run multiple machines and you have more of a permanent setup, a pole barn or a separate garage or a real large, you know, basement or however you're going to do it, I would recommend a rotary phase converter because you're going to run multiple machines.
So when you are looking at the world of gunsmithing, right, and you're someone who is interested in gunsmithing, hasn't gotten started, maybe has not started classes with us yet, how important is machining within kind of the greater picture of gunsmithing, in your opinion?
I think it depends on what you want to do in terms of gunsmithing. And really, what is the scope of the area that you're in? So, you know, like a lot of times I'll ask my students, I'll get a very similar question. You know, have you done some market research? Have you taken a look at what's in the area? Is there a high demand for turning and threading and milling and that with a firearm? Or is there more of just, you know, the repair side of it? You know, part switching, swapping, you know, what facet of it. So, I mean, I like to look at it as, okay, I think it's a very necessary thing. I really do. I think that the craft, the trade, it's, you know, as you hear, the, you know, trades are really a great way for people to come up into, you know, career-wise.
Yeah.
Because there's a huge void. There's a huge need. I think it's very, very important.
Yeah.
But I think I want to make sure that I caution folks, because I would hate to see that somebody just goes and says, well, hey, here's the deal. Somebody said that this is something I'm going to need to do. You know, and I like to refer to back to, you know, I think Kip Carpenter, one of our other instructors, or Master Gunsmith, actually, too. You know, I love some of his videos and things that he's done interview wise, because, you know, it can, you know, the thing is, going back kind of a long way to answer the question, Joey, really is, what is the need and what is your comfort level? You know, what is the market going to dictate? You know, what's your need at, you know, particular setup? So I think, yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there to answer your question, but
I think
it's important? I do. But also, I think you need to be smart about it. And I think you need to also do some good research. Because, again, if you end up in an area where there's a concentration of folks doing a lot of machine work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is there enough of that to go around?
Yeah,
exactly. So does that kind of answer kind of the question?
Yeah, I'm going to try to sum it. And you let me know if I've got this right. So from kind of where you're coming from, gunsmithing is an industry that's going to be affected heavily by both national and local current demand. And if machining is something that is excessive in your area, then maybe not so much. But it seems like what you're saying is there is a pretty decent shortage of people that are passionate about machining, as opposed to some of the aspects in the gunsmithing industry. So while it's important all the time, maybe it's even a little bit more important than some other things because not as many people do it as the market could support. Is that about right?
Absolutely.
Yay. Yeah. I was really hoping that would be close.
Yeah. Nope. Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask that kind of covers a lot of my questions about the basics of machining. The one other thing I wanted to ask was, if people were interested in machining, either as a whole or as something to look into further, just even to prepare before getting their feet wet, is there anything you would tell them, any resources to dig into, or any pieces of machine to buy just to try things out?
I would definitely, you know, consult with you. There's a lot of good YouTubers out there.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very, very good resource if you're coming from either a extremely knowledgeable background or you're coming from a very slim background. I think that just getting out and doing some research on, like I said, checking out, I know it, you know, probably like, you know, it's the, but yeah, YouTube is a great resource. Another great resource are forums such as, Practical Machinist, other trade publications such as Modern Machine Shops, another good one. And you know, anything you can get your hands on to read, it's although difficult to read per se, but a lot of good knowledge to learn about metallurgy and different metals and that kind of thing. Your local steel supplier typically will have a guide to all metals and materials. And it'll kind of give you some basic things, tell you what 3003 is. It'll tell you what 1040, you know, 1018, I mean, just any kind of metal, get into, you know, metallurgy is huge because again, you know, you need to know how, you know, how to machine, individual metals and products. So anything you can get your hands on to read in terms of learning what metal is, learning materials. Like I said, the Machinery's Handbook's a great resource. Yeah, forums, that kind of thing.
Okay, awesome. Well, for everyone, once again, this is Mark Lynn, who is a instructor here with the Sonoran Desert Institute. He is our machining man, our machining specialist, and it is, you guys, I should have said this in the intro, but if his voice sounds familiar, it's because he has done some fairly successful webinars on machining on YouTube that we really enjoyed. So thank you again for taking some time out to get connected with our audiences, Mark, and we'll have you on again sometime.
Thanks for having me, Joey. I appreciate it.
Blast, you say. That can't be all. Well, I am afraid that is all for now, but don't worry, as Mark and I have already discussed after recording this podcast, he will be back to get into some in-depth issues, and we're also going to do some Q&A if anyone is interested. If you have a question for Mark Lynn about the world of machining, please feel free to send an email to marketing@sdi.edu. Put podcast in the subject line. I'll be looking for you. But once again, that's Mark Lynn. He is one of our best machining experts. I hope you guys had a blast with him. I certainly did. Stay tuned because next week we're going to have one of the most favorite podcast I've ever recorded. It's with SDI's own Master Gunsmith, Kip Carpenter, and we're going to be talking about one of the great firearm debates, the AR platform versus the AK platform. And if this hypes it up anything for you, we were supposed to go through the great firearm debates just in one sitting, and the first one took so long that we turned it into a series. So get ready next week for AR versus 8K in the great gun debates. For now, that's the gun rack. Stay safe out there, be responsible shooters, and we'll see you at the range. Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school located at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona, accredited by the DEAC. For more information, please call 800-336-8939 or visit sbi.edu.